You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, good morning, everyone. Just give your seatmate a fist bump for a while. We are on the fifth installment of our series called Unwavering. 5 weeks into this, I don't know with you, but this series, actually, the entire package of it has been really ministering to me. And I hope it's doing the same thing to you. We have been looking at the life of Abram. I don't know with you, but if there's one thing that I really appreciate when we got into this series, is the fact that if you read about the life of Abraham, just in the book of Hebrews, you'll have such reverence, which is rightly so. You'll have such reverence for the man because he's the father of faith and all of these things. But you know, as we have been going through the book of Genesis, looking at his life, if there's one thing that I realized that this man had some blunders in his life. There were times in his life wherein his faith wavered. So meaning to say, the things that he have experienced are things that, you know, we also sometimes experience as well. So, kumbaga, it makes him so human getting into this series. Like what I said, the past how many Sundays, we're looking at his journey of faith. And his journey of faith, just like yours, just like mine, is not perfect. May problem po sa character natin. We are being sanctified and all of these things. And the same way with Abraham, his faith wavered. There were times in his life where he'll be more than willing to sacrifice Isaac. There were also times in his life that he would laugh about what God wanted him to do. Last week, we've looked at Genesis chapter 15. The context of what we have here is that God promised a son to Abraham. And today, we are going to Genesis chapter 17. Imagine this. We started reading a story from Genesis chapter 12. I do understand we're not going through all of these things, but we're doing sectional exposition for that matter. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 17, verse 21 today. It says here, "And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Verse 17 says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation." Last verse, "But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this very time next year." So now, since we are in Genesis chapter 17, we're looking at a couple of verses, starting with verse 15. We're now looking at God giving also an assurance, a call on the wife of Abraham, which was Sarai, and God basically changed her name to Sarah. We're going to learn that later. And allow me to just use this quote from John Piper as a backdrop as we start talking about Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 to 21. According to John Piper, talking about this chapter in Genesis chapter 17, he says, "God's purpose in all that he does is to magnify his own sovereign grace and keep us in our humble place." So I'd like you to have that in your mind as we start talking about this. Meaning to say, at the end of the day, if you'd like me to rephrase that, it simply means, at the end of the day, it's all about God and never about us. His purposes for our lives is always for his glory. Miraculous things happen in our life because we need to glorify him and not ourselves. So allow me to give a context. What we have here is that we have a problem and a promise. That the story that we're looking at here, we have a problem and a promise. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 17. Allow me to backtrack or go as far back as Genesis chapter 11. I want us to look at this. That what I wrote here is that there was a problem first before there was a promise, not the other way around. Hindi po yan promise, tapos nagka-problem. Because a lot of times, our understanding is, I have received this promise, but I needed to wait because nagkaroon ng aberya, nagkaroon ng problem with regards to me claiming the promise. Here, I want us to catch this. On the very onset, there was already a problem. At the thick of that problem, God gave a promise. Those are two different things. With the acknowledgement of the problem, God now starts giving a promise. What do we have here? What's the problem? Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, it says here, "Now Sarai was barren, she had no child." So the problem here is the fact that Sarai, the wife of Abraham, was barren. She cannot bear a child. That is in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. Now, this was a time wherein Sarai was still in her childbearing years. Now, look at this one. Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, it says here, "And Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold now, my husband, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children.'" So you kind of get a picture that, to a certain extent, take note of this one, this applies to Sarai, not to you. Are you guys getting this? This applies to her, not to all of us. Because this verse teaches every single one of us that behind the problem that Sarai was barren was the fact that it was God's own doing. I am not saying that God is the author of evil. It's not actually near to anything like that. Because this is not a sin issue or whatever. It's just that I want us to understand desperation brings us to the realm of the miraculous. Now, it says here, this is very clear, Sarai was barren, she cannot bear a child. Then Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, it says here, this was Sarai talking to Abraham, "Abraham, behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children." What is the tone of that? Was she angry? Was she annoyed over the situation? Most likely, you know, she was disappointed, but it doesn't mean that she was angry against God. She just acknowledged the fact that the God that we worship, the sovereign God that we worship, has prevented me from bearing a child. Clear so far? Let me move further. It says here, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, this was the promise. The promise was, "And Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." So you get a picture? The thing here is that what we're reading here is the fact that even not at the latter stage of her life, we have already acknowledged that Sarai was barren. That's the problem. The thing here was that here comes God out of the many families living at that time, comes to the family of Abraham and tells Abraham, "Abraham, out of you will come a great nation." I don't know about you, but just try to put yourself or try to empathize with Abraham for a while. Don't you think that sounds ridiculous? Lord, if you are going to do something like that, why not do that to that family over there? Why towards my family? Because the fact stands that my wife cannot bear a child. So that is the problem and the promise. But of course, we understand that this was a divine setup from God. God is looking for human impossibilities. Meaning to say, God is looking for a situation wherein we cannot do anything about our own situation. I don't know with you, but sometimes when you have problems, sometimes we deal with it right head on. Meron tayong ginagamit na term na babrasuhin natin yan. Or sometimes we will scheme our way towards breakthrough or things like that. But for Abraham right here, God was setting him up to experience his miracle. Okay, the promise was there's going to be a covenant son. Remember, if you were here last Sunday, we've talked about what a covenant is. And then God was very clear that I am going to give you the covenant son, a covenant son for that matter. Now, Abraham's solution through the years, because he received a call from God, okay, all right, I have this call from God that out of my lineage, out of my family will come the covenant son. But, like what Neil was saying a while ago, he was waiting and waiting. Guess what, friends? I'm not talking about waiting for 6 months. I'm not talking about waiting for 3 years. It's been more than a decade. It's been more than a decade, Lord, since I've heard about this promise. There's been several restatements of this promise, but Lord, we're getting old. There's wrinkles all around. Physiologically speaking, biologically speaking, this is impossible. At times, even being a father of faith, he falters. That is why what I have here is that he did something, and that something was he tried to create a solution for him to receive the promise. He tried creating his own solution to earn or get the promises that he received from many years back. The first solution that he dared do was Eliezer. Folks, remember this. What happened was that in Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, he had this slave from Damascus named Eleazar. So God was giving a promise, and he was like saying, okay, you're giving me this promise. This promise sounds great. Who may have received promises from God? Come on now. All of these promises are great. You read your Bible, you receive promises about promotion and all of these things. I don't know how God talks in that manner. But when we receive promises from God, all of these things are great promises. But here comes Eleazar, here comes Abraham saying, but Abraham said, oh Lord God, what will you give me for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. So meaning to say, what he was doing was that, Lord, I just want to remind you of your promise from many years ago. Take note, Lord, I still don't have a child, but guess what? I have Eleazar. You might want to make a deal with me that I can bring in that man to be the heir of the promise that you're going to give me. And you know how God dealt with Abraham with this one, right? From last week, you know how God dealt? He told Abraham, get out of your tent. Look at the stars in the sky. In fact, it was not just that. He also told Abraham to look at the sand of the seashore. So ibig sabihin, pag gabi may reminder, kapag umaga may reminder si Abraham. There's no escaping God's reminders for our lives when it comes to his faithfulness to us. So Eleazar was his first solution, for that matter. Solution one failed. When I say solution one failed, God didn't accept that proposition. Abraham was like, Lord, may I propose something? And I want to show you Eleazar of Damascus, my slave. And God was like, nope, can't do that. After a couple of years, he had another solution. And that solution came in the person of Ishmael. I don't have all the verses here. You can go read all of this later. The second solution of Abraham was Ishmael. Okay, since you said, Lord, that the seed of the promise will have to be coming from me and not from someone that I am not related with. So now I understand, Lord, that Eleazar is out of the equation. Let's not talk about Eleazar anymore. But let's do something. What happened here was that Abram and Sarai started making a collaboration towards receiving the promise. And out of that promise came Ishmael. What happened was that Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. Cut the long story short, you know what happened? Abram slept with Hagar, and out comes Ishmael. Now, is Ishmael a son of Abraham? Indeed, Ishmael was a son of Abraham, so he could always bring about Ishmael and tell God, Lord, here's my son. Now, can we start talking about the promise? Can we start talking about the fulfillment of the promise? And God was like, nope. Ishmael is not the one. So he created two of these solutions. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, here's God's answer. God told him, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, he says, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. So what in the world has this something to do with my son? A change of name. Have you ever, like, you went to Bose Coffee and someone writes your name and then tinawag ka na iba yung pangalan? I had a friend where I saw on his phone book, yung pangalan ko po nakalagay, Archer. Archer Lim. Kailan pa ako naging Archer? I remember si Mav, he went to a coffee shop one time and then the barista would ask for your name and sabi niya, everyone. My name is everyone. So pag gawa na yung coffee niya, sabi niya, coffee for everyone! So tinginan tuloy lahat. Kala nila may free coffee. Okay. Medyo malakas talaga ang topak ng taong yan. Ano? Sarai was changed to the name Sarah. Now, if you look at this closely, start studying this, you'd come to understand that Sarai and Sarah actually means the same thing. Ano yung baka hirap lang si Lord i-pronounce yung I, kaya H na lang. It actually means the same thing. Sarai and Sarah simply means princess. But there is a catch. When you say Sarai, it talks about that being a princess, her dominion is confined in one household. You change Sarai to Sarah, she is a princess, But her dominion is not confined in one household, but over multitudes of people. Now, just by changing the name of Sarai, he starts changing the destiny of the families of the world. He starts telling Abraham, now I have not just given the call to you, but now I'm giving even the call or the promise to your very wife. That's why Sarai was changed to Sarah for that matter. And here's what God says, I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her, and I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Now there is a reestablishment, a restatement of the promise once again. I want you to read this later, all throughout the story of Abraham, and I want you to count, I mean, how many times did God actually say all of these things? Because God keeps restating and restating, yet the promise isn't there. I don't know about you, but have you ever experienced something like that? You feel like God keeps telling you, you're going to receive this, you're going to receive this, yet, Lord, I'm still in the same place. Lord, what about the promise of promotion? What about the promise of a wife? What about the promise of a husband? Hindi niya pa rin ako tinitignan, Lord. Hindi pa rin ako nililigawan. Ako na lang kaya mangligaw, Lord. Isang chat lang yan. The waiting period here has been extended and extended. Have you ever waited for something, for a promise of a gift or something? Waiting is not an easy thing to do. Right? That's why, like what Neil was singing a while ago, while I'm waiting, I will worship. Worship lang, bro. Isn't an easy thing to do, especially in our generation right now that we want to do things instantly. I hope and pray that in the course of waiting for something, your character gets built up. That in the course of waiting something, you will not resent or hate God. And worse, I hope in the course of waiting, you will not leave the faith. Because you feel like God isn't faithful to you. Perhaps God wants you to just be patient for that matter. And to keep on waiting for His promises. When God told that to Abraham, Sarai shall be Sarah. Look at Abraham's response. I love this. Abraham's response was, look at it. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face. You folks understand that he keeps doing this? He would always worship God, put up altar. Every time God appears to him, God speaks to him. But this time around, he fell on his face not to worship. Bible says he fell on his face and laughed. You read NLT of this one, Bible teaches us that he laughed in disbelief. He was already at a point in his life wherein the things that God was telling him was already laughable. Meaning to say, he was no longer believing any of these things. That it becomes a laughing matter. In fact, it becomes like a mockery over God. Lord, here you are again. You keep, puro ka salita, Lord. Dami mo sinasabi, God. Wala namang nangyayari. Nothing's happening in my life. And this is where Abraham was. Bible says he started laughing. And said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who was 100 years old? Happy Grandparents' Day. He was like, Lord, do you see this, Lord? Puro wrinkle na. He further says, shall Sarah, my wife, I love my wife yet, but she's 90 years old. Have you ever heard something like that, God? I think one of the things that Abraham failed to realize here is that he was talking to the creator of the universe. If you talk to a doctor, most likely the doctor will agree with you. What do you mean 90 years old? That's way past menopause. But who am I to believe that the God that we worship can create something out of nothing? Simply because He's not just the Redeemer, because He is the Creator Himself. He can fabricate, create, manufacture breakthroughs and miracles for us. He started laughing. You know what's funny here? Was the fact that it wasn't just Abraham who started laughing. Sarah actually started laughing as well. Anong prank to? Here's what he says. Genesis chapter 17, verse 18. Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You know what he was like saying? Okay na si Ishmael, Lord. I have Ishmael with him. And my prayer is that Ishmael would live a life that would honor you. You know how that sounds in our vernacular? It's simply, Lord, pwede na. Okay na to. Have you ever settled for something just because you feel like what you're believing God for will not come to pass? And that is why what you have right now, you're settling for Ishmaels in your life. Instead of further pursuing and persevering until the Isaacs come. And this was what was happening to him. The problem was, you know, Abraham settled for Eleazar and Ishmael. He feels like this is good enough. I think this is okay. And he stops believing or stops being in faith for that matter. He started subjecting himself to the things that he can do for himself. Human possibilities, ingenuities, innovation, and all of these things. Lord, ako nang didiskarte. I'll sort things out for myself. I'll find a way at all of these things. I'm not saying that we don't use our mind when we have problems. But I'm just telling every single one of us that just like Abraham, when we receive a promise from God, we pursue it. We press on. Because he who promised is faithful. The promise of God for him was a covenant son. I like what John Calvin says. When he starts talking about faith, he says, faith is like an empty, open hand, lifted to God with nothing to offer and everything to receive. And mind you, this is not talking about us just worshiping and everything will fall right in place first. That's not what it means. It simply means you lift your hands to God and you have nothing to offer. Meaning it's not about your righteousness. It's not about your holiness that God will favor you. As Christians, you understand that by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross, you are highly favored. In fact, the Bible teaches us that we are royal priesthood. That we don't contribute into any of these things other than our faith in the God that we worship. That's a big word right there, impossible. I'd like you to think about that for a while. Are there impossibilities in your life? Can I see your hand if there are some impossibilities in your life right now? Or some emptiness in your life? Come on now. Lord, I feel like this is impossible. I feel like I cannot top this exam or whatever. I feel like this is so beyond me, Lord. Feel mo yun. Pero ano sabi ng word, Lord, over your situation? Things were impossible for him. In what sense? Look at this one. His situation this time in Genesis chapter 17, this is what we call a situation that was triply impossible. Why? Because number one, because of barrenness. She was barren even at a young age. She was already barren. So that in itself is already an impossible thing to happen. Another one is that the age of Abraham, he was like 100 years old. And Sarah, age of Sarah was like what? 90 years old. Another thing is this one, look at this. It has been 25 years and there's been what? 6 restatements of the promise. Come on, Lord. How many years have passed, Lord, that you said the same thing again and again and again? That's not coming to pass. Aren't you glad that God restated that promise over and over again? To build up, supposedly, the faith of Abraham? Genesis chapter 18, verse 11, it says here, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. Meaning to say, it's just humanly impossible for someone to give birth at age 90. For someone to get pregnant at age 90. So the question here stands, why is it that God has rejected Eleazar, solution one, and Ishmael, solution two? And I think we find it in chapter 18. It says here, so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The pleasure of having a child. Then it further says, the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? I want you to understand this. And this is the whole point of this preaching. If you're here and you are in a waiting period right now, here's what God tells you about your situation. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Yun ang sabi ni Lord. Why in the world will I accept Eleazar? Why in the world will I accept Ishmael? Is anything too hard for me? Am I bound by your physiological deficiencies? Am I bound by your biological mindsets or whatever? If I say something, it will come to pass. Because we're talking about someone who created every single thing. You know, what's funny here is that we look at the impossible situation, barrenness, old age of Sarah, old age of Abraham. You know what's more impossible here? More than all those three things, the more possible thing here is for God not to fulfill His promise. Because God is not a liar. He cannot nullify His very own word. If God says something, it will come to pass. And guess what? You're talking about someone who has the wisdom and the power to accomplish it over our lives. What are you believing God for this morning? I want you to understand that as you have faith in God's word, as you have faith in God Himself, I want you to understand that you are talking to someone who has the power and the wisdom to orchestrate breakthroughs and miracles to happen in your life. A lot of times when we are waiting, inisip natin, Lord, ang tagal ko nang naghihintay, Lord. I've been waiting for how many years, Lord? But you know what, in this story, you know how self-centered we are? If you read this story, you realize, man, kawawa naman si Abraham. He keeps waiting and waiting. Kawawa naman ako, Lord. I keep waiting for all these promises of yours. But if you read this story with a new lens, you'd come to understand that it was actually God who was waiting. It was actually God was waiting. You know why? Because He was waiting for the time wherein you are just collared on your wall and there's nothing you can do about your own situation. Emptiness and impossibilities. Then God comes and displays His favor, His miracles to happen in our lives. Let me pull out what John Piper said a while ago. God's purpose in all that He does is to magnify His sovereign grace and keep us in our humble place. So that when all of these things happen in our lives, we will point to God, Lord, You deserve the glory, God. You look at your life right now, why are we here in the first place? We're here because of God's grace. Apart from God's grace, di ko alam kung saan tayo pupulutin. Apart from God's grace, we will experience none of these favors and blessings. Sarah was barren from the beginning. God refused Abraham's human solution in the person of Eleazar. God refused Abraham's human solution through Hagar. God waited until Abraham and Sarah were beyond childbearing years. Then He starts bringing about the breakthroughs in their lives. Meaning to say, wala po, not an ounce of contribution. If you're here today, you're desperate financially. No one to call to. God hears you out. No mom, no dad to call on the phone. Dad, just for this time, like, I need 5,000, I need 10,000. I'd like for you to understand, I hope and pray that God does not become our fallback plan, but it becomes our plan A and our only plan. That in that place of emptiness and impossibility, we will be in faith for breakthroughs in our lives. He further says in Genesis chapter 7 in verse 21, I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. In fact, alam na alam ni Lord kung kailan po mangyayari. He has already appointed the time of your breakthrough, friends. He knows the exact date of the things that He is going to bring about in our lives. To move further, it says here, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. I will establish my covenant with him. Look at this one. As an everlasting covenant. Cut the long story short. We know, we do understand it. Coming from this lineage came the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, I want to leave this to everyone. Nothing is too difficult for the God that we worship. I want you to think about your situation, past situation, current situation. Nothing is too difficult for the God that we worship.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.